in the days of Elijah was a testimony that God was with Elijah, and that God, the God of Elijah, was the God of gods. He was the God of Israel. He was the true God. And in the days of the end times, fire from heaven signifies that this man is the false Christ. That this man is, you know, the servant of the dragon, or he is the dragon. It doesn't really matter how you look at it, at least in my estimation, because those things are more, they are revealed in their time. It's most important. A lot of times we don't understand things. We see through a glass darkly. But if we know the scriptures, when we get to those times, I am certain that the Spirit will quicken our understanding. It will bring the word to life in our minds so that when we face those events, if we prepared ourselves by immersing ourselves in the scriptures, we will have no problem at all as far as understanding the events. And I'm not so much concerned with understanding what's happening as being able to bear it. If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, how will you contend with horses? If this life as it is now you find vexing, how will you do when the beast is calling down fire from heaven? How will you do when his armies are marching across the earth? How will you do in those difficult times? It's like the parable of the sower. When the sun arose, the persecution arose, they withered away. In good times, they make good Christians. In bad times, they forsake the way. But in the book of Revelation, you see, there are servants of God, and they call forth fire. But they don't call it down from heaven. Because heaven is something other than the devil. He has to call the fire from heaven. Because that's where God is. That's where his authority is. In the book of Revelation, the servants of God cause fire to come out of their mouths. Because that's where their authority is. Because that's where their power is. Because the kingdom of God is within you. Because the Spirit of God is within you. The fire comes from within. Not that I manufacture of myself, but it is this because the Spirit of God is there. The Spirit of God is within me. So the fire comes out of me, not from the sky. So they don't even really understand what they're asking for. Some sort of sign from heaven. Oh, there's signs from heaven. The sky is red. It means rain. The sky is red. It means no rain. You don't know what the time is. You can discern the face of the sky. I know that. But you don't know what the time is that you're living in. And they had all kinds of signs, obviously. We know this. They had all kinds of signs. Lepers. And, you know, if we had had... The thing is, these days, if we had had the signs that they have, we would repent. But God isn't going to give us the signs that they had. He's not going to give us a sweet and meek Jesus walking around healing their sick. He's going to give this generation a little different sign. He's going to give this generation a different kind of ministry. We need to have so much good. We need to have so much comfort. It's going to be a very different kind of ministry in the end time. It's not going to be and that's why you get the phenomenon of preachers who preach Rolls Royce gospels. Of Jesus would have driven a Rolls Royce if he was around today. Jesus would have blah, blah, blah. Jesus would be a rich man. I mean, are you kidding me? I am. Jesus made me rich. We have this phenomenon of wealth preaching. You know, fortunes in foreclosures? No, there's fortunes in Jesus. A wicked and adulterous generation. An evil generation. An adulteress. That refers to an Old Testament idea. You know, the children of Israel committed adultery with stones and with stocks. Jeremiah 3. Which means that in going astray after other gods, they were adulterous. And in going astray from the word of the Lord, they were adulterous. In not receiving Messiah, the promised husband, so to speak, he's the bridegroom. Mary said, shall the children of the bridegroom, bride chamber, fast while the bridegroom is present with them? He's the bridegroom and he came for Israel. But she would not have him. In the ancient world, that's unheard of. The bride, she wouldn't take the husband that was promised. And the husband had come for his bride. And what a comely husband he was. Healing their sick, preaching the gospel. Oh, that's the part that really got him. The good news was not good news because it was not according to what they'd been doing. And they'd have to change their ways. We don't want to repent. You know, they probably didn't mind so much that Jesus preached the gospel to the poor and preached the gospel to the whores and to the, you know, I want to say drug users, but that, you know, that was, you know, the drunkards and so on and so forth. As much as that he also preached it to them in the sense of repent. He told them what their sins were. And it was annoying to them because he didn't do that to the harlots and to the drunkards and the publicans and sinners because the publicans and sinners knew what their sins were. They already knew they were sinners. The Pharisees thought they were righteous men. And Jesus said, well, you're not. That's what got them. Is that they got lumped in with the other sinners. And they did not like that. And so they would not receive him. There's no sign going to be given, he said, except the sign of the prophet Jonas. The sign of the resurrection of Christ from the dead, was the most significant sign given to them. That was the sign that God specifically designated for them. Here's your sign from heaven. You know, I suppose there's more to it than simply that. Because Jonah, the sign that Jonah brought to the Ninevites was his preaching. Repent. I mean, that's the other side of the coin. The coin was the prophet who said to repent. The prophet who preached repentance. And he was a bit of a Jonah to them. Meaning in the sense that he came preaching to them they needed to change their ways. That God was not pleased with them. And in fact, as God was prepared to destroy Nineveh, so God was prepared to destroy Jerusalem. And that they received him not, he did destroy it. By the hand of the Romans. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. So his disciples show up after. Jesus has this little encounter on his mind. And they say to him, well, they didn't say anything to him. They didn't bring bread. They didn't bring any bread. And he just fed the multitudes. And they didn't have any bread at all. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that you do not understand? I spake it not unto you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Then understood they